I have a buddy named Ray Briers, and he owns a company called ThePipeYardInc.com. And if you have a project that needs carbon steel pipe, he stocks everything you need. New surplus, secondary, you name it. Rat hole, mouse hole, conductor casing, pipe pile, sign pole, structural, road bores, dredging. If you're buying or selling, you got an abandoned pipeline, wherever, he'll buy it. ThePipeYardInc.com, 409-788-PIPE, 409-788-PIPE. Allied Outdoor Solutions has been a show sponsor of ours in our Houston flagship market for almost 20 years now. And it's been fun because they've gone from just a handful of folks to growing and growing and growing, doing beautiful backyard solutions to make your backyard, your front yard, your side yard, your front driveway look like a resort. And over the years, they've added Austin, San Antonio, Dallas. And what the work they do, you can see it for yourself at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com or have them come do it for you. 844-846-1010. 844-846-1010.
It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Berry Show is on the air.
It's Cinco de Mayo, and I don't know that that's bigger anywhere than in Texas, where it's like St. Patrick's Day level celebrations, drunken revelry and nonsense. I mean, it's the biggest day of the year for Tex-Mex restaurants here, and we have more Tex-Mex restaurants than anything else. We probably have more Tex-Mex restaurants than burger joints. I mean, if you take out fast food. Burger joints, barbecue, gas stations. I mean, it is Tex-Mex. It's what we eat. It's what we do. It's who we are. So it's Cinco de Mayo. Duly noted. The establishment swamp John McCain Republican turned independent, turned Democrat, Charlie Crist, who went from being the guy who was running for the Senate in Florida. He lost to Rubio back in 2010. He then went over and became an independent, endorsed Barack Obama, then became a Democrat. Now he's wanting to run for governor again against Ron DeSantis. DeSantis had a great response.
What's your reaction to Charlie Crist announcing his run for governor, and can you commit to a run for governor?
You know, I didn't realize, like, you know, it was like, what party is he going to run in this time? I mean, he's lost as a Republican, independent, Democrat. But, you know, I looked up, he's voting with Nancy Pelosi 100% of the time in Congress. I thought, heck, maybe he gives the Green Party a chance. He's certainly voting that way. So we'll see what happens.
You know, I'm not sure if the greater threat to our country is Democrats or bad Republicans. Let's go back and look at the case of Charlie Crist. The year was 2010. Rubio was the Tea Party candidate. Now, I'm not a Rubio fan. I know some people are. 2008 was the election of Barack Obama. When Obama is elected, he immediately begins the global warming push, wanted a carbon exchange, and Obamacare, along with a number of other radical proposals. That led to a grassroots reaction which came to be known as the Tea Party. Charlie Crist was one of those guys. He'd been a long-time entrenched Republican, and he was supported by John Cornyn of Texas and John McCain and the Republican Senatorial Committee. Now, why would the Republican Senatorial Committee, that's supposed to be getting us 51 Republicans in the majority, why would they be getting involved in a primary? One thing you have to understand, the National Republican Party doesn't want to win a majority. They want to win a majority of their guys. And if they can't have that, they'll sabotage the whole game. That's what the Lincoln Project is all about. That's why they're still making videos yesterday and producing them, even after one of their co-founders was diddling kids. It doesn't matter. These people are useful to Soros, Pelosi, and the left. Liz Cheney. They're talking about taking Liz Cheney out of a leadership position, and Nancy Pelosi is asked what she thinks of Liz Cheney, and she says she's courageous. When Nancy Pelosi is complimenting you, you are not a good Republican. That's how you know. That's how you know you are a bad person, is when Nancy Pelosi is calling you courageous. You are a useful idiot to the left. I read somebody wrote, I can't believe the New York Times is saying nice things about a person named Cheney. Wait a minute. Did you think they don't really like Dick Cheney? Do you think they don't really like George W. Bush? You think they don't really like Mitt Romney and John McCain? Oh, yes, they do. These people are very useful to them. These are the Washington generals to the Democrats' Harlem Globetrotters. The Globetrotters don't hate the generals. They love the generals because the generals occupy a place on the court that make you think that there is a sporting chance that the Harlem Globetrotters might lose. I think they even lost a time or two over the 80 years, just so you'd know it could happen. And if you don't know any better, you show up at the game, it's like Gravedigger. You thought to yourself, I like Gravedigger better than all of them. Oh, you do, do you? How'd that come about? I just like Gravedigger. Gravedigger win? He did! My choice won! You don't think that was prearranged? It's all prearranged. It's all prearranged, and we're all in on the game. Except for you. You keep thinking that you're going to have some sort of input on the process. And occasionally, you end up picking a candidate that's not their candidate. That's why when Todd Akin won the Republican primary in Missouri, Karl Rove had to come out and destroy him. And that's how we ended up with Claire McCaskill, who ended up chairing Barack Obama's campaign. You see, we keep losing these Senate seats over and over and over again because the inside Republicans, the Washington General Republicans, keep telling us, oh, we can't have that Republican. If we have Donald Trump, if we have Ted Cruz, they had dinner together last night, by the way, at Mar-a-Lago. If we have Donald Trump or we have Ted Cruz or we have this Republican or Rand Paul or Ron Paul or Mike Lee, if we have the wrong Republican in there, then we'll lose all our elections. So we have to have good Republicans like Mitt Romney. You know, the Republicans that'll roll over and let the Democrats win. So John Cornyn and John McCain and the establishment Republicans came out to help Charlie Crist join their ranks in the Senate. And the Republican grassroots voters in Florida said no. And they defeated Crist. So here's a guy telling them that he's out to represent them, their values. He's one of those. This is what Republican establishment guys do. They show up at the 4th of July. They wear the flag lapel pin. They say, I'm for prayer in the schools and a balanced budget. I'm for American patriotism. While they vote with the Democrats and refuse to fight back. They're for all the wars, but always in the name of supporting the troops. They're for all the expenditures, but always in the name of investing in the country. They're for everything the Democrats are for. If they're going to be for everything the Democrats are for, then why do we need them? Charlie Crist and his metamorphosis from supposed Republican insider that Cornyn and McCain wanted to now avowed Democrat, that's all you need to know about the swamp.
The Michael Berry Show.
There's a warm breeze blowing from the south, so I need to get going. The palm trees and beaches call my name. There's a bar that I know well that you can drink and breathe in the sea air, lay in the sun, dance in the rain. The kind of place where everyone knows your name.
I love my life in Guatemala. It is the greatest country on earth. But now I need to go to America so I can find a better job. I wish it wasn't so hard to get into the country.
Hola, SS! Are you an undocumented migrant who recently traveled to America in a giant caravan, but now you're stuck waiting for Border Patrol agents to let you into the country and give you refugee status?
Yes, I am. I traveled here in a giant caravan, and now I'm waiting at the border for Americans to let me in. It's more horrible. How did you know?
You are not alone. There are thousands of eager immigrants who travel to America every day, only to get caught up in the slow bureaucratic nightmare that is the American government's immigration system.
It's so slow. I hate it. I want these stupid Americans let me in so I can get free stuff from the government.
Fear not, illegal immigrants and immigrants. Now there is a solution.
What is it?
Well, shut up and I tell you, SA. It's called Stabby Hernan's Immigrant Legal Services. The one-size-fits-all solution to getting your American citizen status in 24 hours or less. At Stabby Hernan's Immigrant Services, there's no such thing as an illegal immigrant. We guarantee results, or my name isn't Stabby Hernan.
Sounds great. Are you a certified attorney?
No. Does it matter?
So then why do they call you Stabby Hernan?
Because my name is Hernan, and I like to stab people.
That makes sense. I'm on a Mexican radio.
It is going to be a pirouette pivot, seamless, shameless, and senseless, from the lockdown of COVID to the global warming lockdown. It's going to be governmental control of your every action, regulation of your businesses, destruction of our economy, and you have to be convinced along the way that you're submitting to this as part of a grand plan. Well, I don't choose to submit to that. And it's not good for the economy. It's not good for the environment. It's not good for our health. It's not good for our country. Steve Malloy publishes junkscience.com. He served on the Trump EPA transition team. He's the author of Scare Pollution, Why and How to Fix the EPA. He wrote an article in InsideSources.com that was published about 10 days ago entitled Biden's Climate Road to Nowhere. Let's start, Steve, with the question, why must we take a climate road anywhere?
Well, we don't have to, but unfortunately, the guy in the White House thinks that we must, and he is bent on turning every government policy into a climate policy. So he wants to do all sorts of crazy things like mandate electric vehicles and have a zero emission grid by 2035. And all he's going to do really is raise our energy costs. He's going to destroy our standard of living. He's going to take away our liberties, and we're going to be living in a much sadder country.
You write that in 2006, the United States was responsible for about 25% of emissions, and China was responsible for far less. Today, China is responsible for 25% of global emissions, and we've dropped to 15%. So as we have reduced our emissions, they have gained ground on us economically, almost as if this was a trade-off, as if we have handcuffed and hampered our own economy.
Well, we have. We constantly hear about how Western countries are, cutting emissions or trying to cut emissions, and all they've really done is send their emissions over to China. China now supplies us with goods. The reason I brought that up in the article was that, in 1997, the Senate voted unanimously against the United States cutting emissions unless China, India, Russia, Mexico, Brazil, and the rest of the developing world were going to cut their emissions because that's where all the emissions are going to come from and are coming from now. And two of those senators that voted in a unanimous Senate were Senator Joe Biden and Senator John Kerry. So fast forward from 1997 to 2021, we have President Joe Biden, but all of a sudden he's forgotten about what he voted for in 1997, which was the eminently sensible, you know, the United States cannot solve whatever climate problem they imagine there is by itself. And so there's no point in doing anything, it's just economic suicide, to unilaterally cut emissions. But here we have President Joe Biden and climate envoy John Kerry, trying to, unilaterally cut emissions while the emissions from the developing world have exploded as expected. And, you know, the even more interesting thing, Michael, is that, you know, last week in Joe Biden's address to Congress, Joe Biden said, with respect to cutting emissions, you know, even if we do everything perfectly, it's not going to make a difference. You know, and that's quite an admission for someone that wants to cut emissions. That means right. that, you know, spending trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars on climate is not going to get us anywhere. So, you know, what the hell?
It's almost as if all the spending on climate and governmental control of manufacturing wasn't designed for the environment in the first place. But, Steve, aren't we really at a point now, and you made the point, that China's emissions have increased as we've moved production to China, that what we've said is, well, we won't allow the United States to have any emissions, but the world will still absorb emissions. They'll just come from China, and they'll make everything.
Well, that's the way things have gone. I mean, we haven't really cut our emissions all that dramatically. We have a little bit because natural gas has replaced coal and a lot of power generation. But, you know, our emissions are still going up. The same is true for Western Europe. But, you know, we've exported a lot of our emissions to China. You know, it's where a lot of manufacturing goes on today. So, and, you know, China, places like China and India, you know, not only are they making stuff for us, but they're also increasing their own standard of living, which requires fossil fuels. Of course, because everything in the world requires fossil fuels. There's nothing that happens in the world without fossil fuels. And so we're having more people who need more food, transportation, places to work, places to live. You know, emissions are only going north. They are never going down. Yet we are going to sit there and, you know, we are going to make energy more expensive, less available, and, as Joe Biden says, not accomplish anything. So, you know, once again, I say, what the hell?
To quote the last line of your piece, the eyes of Republican politicians often seem to glaze over when the subject of climate comes up. That is, if they don't just head for the hills. I'm not sure which of those is worse, but why can't our side engage on this issue?
You know, that's a great question. Look, the environment is, I guess, you know, I've been doing it for 30 years now, so, it seems simple to me, but I will say that it can be complex because you have to know, you have to mix in some science, some economics, some politics, and it takes some a while to think about it and formulate ideas and figure out what's going on. There's a lot of misinformation in the environment. Now, Democrats, the way they process that, they don't care. They have an agenda, and their agenda is, you know, controlling our lives via climate. So they don't even think about any of this stuff. They just spout talking points and nonsense and propaganda, and they're good with that. Republicans, they feel uncomfortable with it, but they don't want to spend the time to learn anything about it, so they can talk intelligently, even to their own side about it. And then, you know, the other side is so, of course, vociferous about with their propaganda and misinformation, you know, they intimidate our guys who are basically, you know, kind of sissy-ish. They don't want to stand up to the other side because, you know, they might not be liked, might not get the cocktail parties and right cocktail parties in Washington. So, you know, that of course has, you know, left it up to people like me to, you know, try to scream from the rooftops of some of the truth and try to pressure people on our side to do the right thing. And, you know, it's not easy.
Our guest, Steve Malloy, wrote Biden's Climate Road to Nowhere. We'll continue our conversation coming up.
The Michael Berry Show.
For years, I've been bragging on the team at Allied Outdoor Solutions in Houston for the beautiful work they do to make your outdoor area, your backyard, look like a resort. Well, their business has just grown and grown organically because they do great work. Your walkways, the area around your pool, your outdoor kitchen, all of that. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. And now, over the years, it's taken 20 years, they're now in Austin, Dallas, and San Antonio. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. 844-846-1010. Call them at 844-846-1010. I am an addictive personality, and so I fear things to which I could become addicted, like gambling or prescription drugs. But I want to sleep better, and I want to ache less. Try, as I do, thetrustedlab.com, delivered to your home. Texas-based, completely legal CBD that has given me great results. TheTrustedLab.com. We continue our conversation with Steve Malloy. He was on the Trump EPA transition team. He recently wrote Biden's Climate Road to Nowhere. It strikes me that there's another component of this, and that is that there is an advocacy coming from the left that is largely funded by Chinese and outside interests, international interests, that have a vested interest in American industry being less competitive. Yeah. But it's also the case that American industry has sort of pulled back. They've refused to engage, and the idea being, well, we'll just ride out this term and ride out our retirement package and hope they don't notice us. Where are the oil and gas companies engaging? Where I remember Shell deciding several years ago that they would no longer contribute to elected officials. It's as if these companies have now decided, you know, I don't want to engage. I'm going to run and hide and hope and fund their organizations. Well, you're feeding the beast that's going to consume you.
Yeah, so this is one of my great frustrations because I do a lot of shareholder activism, trying to pressure companies to not cave in on climate, and the oil companies are just a particularly sad case. You know, Exxon will tell you privately they plan to sell all the oil they can, but then in public, you know, they're for a carbon tax, they're for the climate agenda, they're worried that climate is going to destroy the world, and it's all just rank hypocrisy. The European oil companies like BP and Shell, there's no explanation for them. They're like the Europeans. They're just on this, climate suicide trajectory. They plan on being out of the oil business, or so they say, by 2040, 2050. It's totally insane. Political correctness is running amok in America, especially among corporations, even oil companies. It's very, very sad.
It is sad, but it almost makes me think that at least for these companies, they get what they deserve, because if you refuse to engage, it's hard for me to feel terrible.
But so here's the problem. I mean, it's if they were getting what they deserve, I guess I'd be okay with that. But, we're getting it, when gas prices go up, or, we're forced to buy electric vehicles, which don't really work and cost a lot more. When our standard of living declines, then, we're getting it. It's not those guys. Those guys are, the oil execs, they got plenty of money. They're going to retire. Even if, oil goes out of business, they're going to have plenty of money. They're going to retire. But what about the rest of us?
Right.
We're just going to be totally
screwed.
No, I agree.
The consumer is the real loser. A lack of a free, open, competitive, capitalistic marketplace. The real loser is not the investor or the employee, as fast as it is the consumer. You lose choices. And you see that when you go to Bulgaria or Venezuela and there are shelves that are bare. And I don't think Americans want that. We don't want to pay more for energy. It makes us less competitive.
Yeah, no, I broaden it from consumer to just, human being. I mean, they're taking our rights away. They want to take our decision-making authority, our, authority over ourselves away. I mean, these are people that want to tell you where to live, where to work, how many children you can have, what kind of car you can drive, what kind of food you can eat, what kind of light bulbs you can have in your house, the toilets you got to have, what kind of toilet paper you can use. I mean, there's no aspect of our lives that these people don't want to tell you what to do. And it's been surprising over the past year. You know, I always thought Americans were, you know, freedom-loving people, tough people, especially someone like from New York. You know, you hear about New Yorkers all the time. Well, I'll tell you what, I mean, we have just laid down and died for COVID, and the other side has picked up on this. And you know, since the beginning of COVID, they've been fantasizing how we can go from a COVID lockdown into a climate lockdown. And I've been really disappointed in Americans over the past year because people have just taken it, and we're still taking it. Look at the school situation. You know, we still have a lot of schools still not open, and we're taking all this stuff, and no one is fighting back.
It is disturbing. My wife is from India, so I follow the Indian economy closely, and you note that India has dramatically increased its emissions and even has plans to mine twice as much coal as the U.S. within 3 years, by 2024. Well, that's going to mean that the global need for coal is going to be met, and it's not going to be met by Americans. So Hillary Clinton is getting her wish. Our coal miners will be put out of business.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. I mean, this whole war on coal, which is, you know, still going on, it's only hurting coal miners who are losing their high-paying jobs, coal communities, which depend on coal mining, pension plans. We've saddled the U.S. taxpayer now with coal miner pension plans because they've killed the industry. And the weather is not changing. Coal production and consumption is going up around the world. Coal is still the number one fuel in the world for electricity. Most of it happening in China, but India, as you mentioned, is coming up. And Africa, when Africa comes online, I mean, its choice is going to be coal because coal is cheaper. And we've accomplished nothing. We're just, you know, it's really perverted. We're leaving trillions of dollars worth of coal in the ground. Mm. We're hurting all these communities where, you know, there's really not much else to do. And we're not accomplishing anything. It's twisted and sick.
Well, and the troubling thing about it is how many people don't realize that the misery they're going to live through was not necessary or inevitable, that these are the results of decisions that were made. You make another point that I wanted to get to. You say the final question is a natural follow-up. If hundreds of billions of dollars are going to be thrown at climate projects with no clear goals in mind, how do we know that the money won't just become a giant patronage system for Democrat politicians? And that's really the point here. What we're doing is building in, using tax dollars, a redistribution system to Democrat consultants and unions and their organizations. It's be like the teachers' unions. We'll never get rid of this.
Right. I mean, Joe Biden's $2.6 trillion infrastructure package, like his $1.9 trillion COVID relief package before that. I mean, this is just putting trillions of dollars in Democrat control so they can hand it out to, you know, their constituencies over time. For example, the infrastructure bill, you know, it spends out over 8 years, which includes the 2022 election, the 2024 election, 2026 and 2028 election. So, you know, this is a giant campaign contribution from taxpayers, which were, you know, either borrowing the money or printing the money to give to Democrats so they can buy votes to maintain power over, you know, for the next 10 years and really forever. And Republican politicians don't seem to get this. A lot of the media doesn't seem to get this. I haven't heard anyone bring that point up. I mean, this is just a giant campaign contribution to Democrats.
He's Steve Malloy. He publishes junkscience.com. He served on the Trump EPA transition team. The piece, Biden's Climate Road to Nowhere, first appeared in InsideSources.com. You can now see it on our website at MichaelBerryShow.com.
The Michael Berry Show. The Michael Berry Show.
Charra fiesta del sol. Donde los charros valientes dan con sus cantos la evocación. El huele a surco y a tradición, rodeado de la faena, más admirada de mi nación. Bonito es el jaripeo y cuando es su animación, yo quiero montarle un toro para que me mire mi amor. Upali, 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 yo quiero montarle un toro para que me mire mi amor.
That's Linda Ronstadt.
All right, if you married into a family of Mexicans, what's been your biggest surprise? RJ, on the line. What is it with black dudes and Mexican women? Is it the big booty?
It's kind of it's the booty, but it's also the lips, but then it's also the little the attitude. You might not know if you get stabbed in your sleep, kind of adventure thing.
You like
it.
The spicy,
that's what it is.
That is so common. You don't see black girls with Hispanic guys, but you see black dudes with Hispanic women.
This is true.
I mean, lot of it.
This is true.
And they always have a big booty.
I must say the wife is definitely not lacking in those areas.
You know, I don't know how this happens, but you can look. And people that don't believe me, next time you go to a festival where you see a lot of people out, white guys don't like big booties. And I don't know why. I don't. But friends of mine who are black and Hispanic like a big booty. I mean, like a fat booty. A big, round booty. And I don't know why that is. I don't know where that happens, right?
I can tell you offline.
Oh, my goodness. RJ, you just made Ramon blush. Okay, so what about marrying into a Mexican family surprised you?
How many of them there are and how often they just pop up. Like, my wife has, her mother has 7 brothers and sisters. Her father has 7 brothers and sisters. There's, like, 68 nieces and nephews, and they're, like, 22,000 grandchildren. It's ridiculous.
And you know what I've noticed? They, like... We can have big families of whites and blacks, but Hispanics, they all gather. Like, mm-hmm. if you get invited to a backyard barbecue by some dude and his wife is Mexican, every one of her brothers is going to be there, and they're
right.
all on a softball team together.
That's right.
Like, they get together 3 or 4 times a week.
And that's the thing. I come home from work, and there's 6 people at the house, and I'm like, what's going on? It's Tuesday.
Yeah, you don't know what to do.
Don't know what to do. Eat.
What are they doing at the house?
Cooking and clucking. That's what I call it. Cooking and clucking.
And
talking
so
about nothing and eating food.
And do they rib you and you rib them?
Well, see, I've been married 20 years, so I just sit there and smile.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know better.
Interesting. Now, does she have any sisters?
Absolutely. She has a twin sister and then an older sister.
Did the twin sister marry a black dude?
No, she didn't. She married a white guy.
Okay, and then the older sister?
Yeah, she was with a black man, yeah.
And then there's brothers.
Yeah, brother actually has a black wife.
Really? Now that
really, yes.
That you don't see very often at
all. Yeah, has a black wife. Yes, he does.
Hmm. Okay. And is only one brother?
Just one brother. That's
so
it.
There's only 4 kids?
Yeah, on my
Are
wife's side, there's
sure
only 4 kids.
Hispanic?
Yeah, right. But they're all, we call them, they are actually Mexican twins. My wife is a twin. Her sister is a year older, and her brother's a year younger.
That's
so
also
it's
called
like,
Irish twins, too.
Irish twins as well, okay. All right.
So do you have siblings?
I do, but we're all 4 years apart.
Okay, and what did they do?
Well, my older sister's passed on. My next sister runs a department store. She's 4 years older than me.
Yeah, but I just need to know if she married.
Oh, okay. Black man, my sister, Hispanic man, my other sister that passed on. Both my brothers married white women.
So your sister is black and married a Hispanic dude.
That's right.
And your wife's brother is a Hispanic dude who married a black girl.
That is correct.
So maybe it's more common than I realize.
Yeah, it's real funny. In multicultural families, you'll typically see a lot of them have multicultural spouses. So no one in my family actually married into the same race. Because even though I'm half black, half white, so my sister marrying a black man still kind of outside of her, you know, it's a mixture, if you will. So, yeah, none of us actually married, I guess, you know, to the same race.
Ramon, but it's fun. It keeps it spicy. Somebody half black calling in on the black line?
Whoa. I've given my credentials.
Yeah, but we might have to have a half black line.
Oh.
Yeah, a full black line and a half black line. I'm just thinking.
Okay.
I'm just thinking out loud. RJ, I love it when you call, brother. Thank you. Michael from Beaumont. Go ahead.
Yeah, married into a Mexican family. And I agree with the first caller. There's a saying I've got in that family that you only get to be the newborn for a week in that family, and that's it. Your time's up.
And every woman refers to every little boy as Poppy.
Exactly. And Mama. The girls are Mama.
Yeah, girls are Mama. But I will tell you what, when you are in, you are in. They will fight within the family, but man, they take care of family. I've seen this. If somebody is struggling and can't pay their car note, if they can't pay their house note, if they need help going back to school, those family, they are in it together. They are bootstrapping together.
Exactly. And as a white boy, it's hard because a lot of times I would say, hey, I'm kind of odd man out here, you know, at family gatherings. And sometimes they get crazy. So, you know, you're just like, is all this yelling and hollering going to be vented directly at me at some point? But it's all good.
I will tell you, I have had a lot of friends over the years marry Mexican girls. Usually that means American girls of Hispanic heritage. My buddy Ben Wernig married a Mexican girl from Mexico, brought her here. And his son, by the way, Ramon, weighs 130 pounds, deadlifted 315 yesterday. I got to show you this video. This little bitty kid, 315. I don't think I could deadlift more than 450 just right now. Of course, I got Michael Petru working me out. But I doubt I can do four. Not a lot, a lot of times, anyway. Not a lot of times. Cinco de Mayo. And everything.
It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Berry Show is on the air.
Daughter working her tail off to win district, maybe regional, go to state, get a scholarship, play ball, putting in the work and the time, making the most of her God-given talent, and then a young man who is endowed with physical strength far superior than what a girl is given, deciding that he's going to compete in girls' sports. And because people have lost their mind and can't make good common sense decisions because they get so twisted up in building coalitions that they would end up harming the very girls they claim to be protectors of. It's bad news. It's kind of sad and weird and twisted and perverse that this is the issue of our day, but here we are. John Schwepp is the Director of Policy and Government Affairs for the American Principles Project. And he is here to talk about a bill on Governor Ron DeSantis' desk right now, Governor of Florida, to protect women's sports from transgender athletes. John, what's in this bill?
Well, it's pretty simple. It recognizes biological sex as mattering when it comes to athletics. And you know, basically says if you are, instead of referring to gender identity, which is this nebulous term that the left really wants us to use now instead of sex, it says, you know, to compete in girls' athletics, you need to be a girl on your birth certificate at the moment of birth. You know, it's pretty simple. This seems kind of crazy. I know I've talked to a lot of activists who just can't believe we're even talking about this, but this is kind of where we're at, and we need to pass bills like this to protect against some of the Democrats' more radical priorities.
The bill in Florida, is that women's sports at the UIL or the up to the high school level, or does it include college sports?
It does include college sports, so this is a pretty comprehensive bill. It does exclude, I believe they made an exception when they were trying to negotiate it. I think there's an exception for elementary kids. But, you know, junior high, high school, college sports, it would completely protect the opportunities for these girls.
Why doesn't this come up in professional sports? Is it because professional sports owners know that this is a terrible idea and don't allow it?
Yeah, you know, it's a really good question. I mean, you know, the WNBA, for example, what would happen if LeBron James, you know, decided to take his talents over there? He would dominate. It wouldn't be close. You know, we actually saw an example of that. You might remember the women's soccer team that won the gold medal. And, you know, all of America was excited about that, cheering them on. Well, that same team, you know, scrimmaged against a high school boys team and lost. So, you know, this is just kind of how it is. That doesn't take anything away from these female athletes. They're exceptional. But there are differences between men and women, significant ones. And it's just completely, I don't want to say comical. It's just sad. It's not right to put girls up against guys and expect that to be anything close to fair.
Everybody who sees it knows it. And you have to catch yourself in a really bad round of gymnastics and contortions to somehow justify this on the basis that, well, we got to build this coalition to win elections. This is harmful to the little girls, and that's what it comes down to. And if you can't see that, I'm not sure I can help you.
Well, unfortunately, Michael, I mean, this is where the Republicans, you know, as a conservative, sometimes it's frustrating. It feels like we never get wins. We never see Republicans push back and gain ground on the left. Well, here's a scenario where I think the left has pushed too far on these, you know, this gender ideology that boys should be able to do everything. Men should be in women's prisons. Men should be in women's bathrooms. I think they've pushed too far on that. And now we're starting to see the Republican Party, gain some courage and push back on this. I think we have, when Florida signs it, it'll be the seventh or eighth state that has signed women's sports legislation into law. So, you know, our hope is that we can take from this and this issue, which seems to be pretty common sense, and do it on more issues and get the Republican Party fighting more.
I read a point that you made that this will not only affect female athletes, but the collegiate institutions themselves. How?
Well, I think, you know, this would basically prevent the craziness from happening. It would allow women's sports to continue to be versus other women. You know, the NCAA, actually their policy on this is very confusing, and it's not clear that they are inherently in support of men competing in women's sports, although they kind of virtue signal to the contrary. So, you know, I think this makes it clear for the state of Florida that in the state of Florida, these athletes at these colleges will be competing against women and women only, and, you know, it'll be pretty clear.
So DeSantis signs this and it becomes law. So that means it's gone through the House and the Senate there?
That's correct. And it was kind of crazy because it looked like it was dead for a little bit there. DeSantis signaled to the media that he would like to sign it, and they revived it and attached it to this larger bill, and both the House and Senate passed it. So he is set to sign it, and we anticipate that happening very soon.
Interesting. And that would go into effect presumably for the fall semester of the upcoming year?
I think so. I'm not 100% sure on it. I know it will go into effect very soon.
very interesting. John Schwepp, Director of Policy and Government Affairs for the American Principles Project. Thanks for being our guest, my man.
Thank you, Michael.
You know, I have to tell you, I do believe, I've seen it, and in fact, I've seen it in some cases where it's the child of someone you know and your heart goes out. I do think there are kids, I guess the term is dysphoria now, I do think there are kids who struggle with their identity in a number of different ways. And you see kids who do not develop their sexual identity. Some people never do, and some people are delayed, and some people are confused. And look, it's hard to grow up. We forget how hard it is to grow up when we get older. I mean, just having a pimple is awful. Do you remember Clearasil and the different things we put on just to keep you from seeing that red dot on our face so our buddy wouldn't call us pepperoni head? If you have a funny name, if you're from a different place, if you're fat, if you're skinny, if you have red hair, it's rough. It's hard to grow up. I'm not going to tell you I think that these little boys are awful that want to play girl sports. I don't think they want to cheat. I don't think they want an unfair advantage. I think they want to participate, and that's what they want to do. But either they're going to be prohibited or the girls are going to be prohibited. And there's no way around it. And we have to make adult decisions. And there's winners and losers to every decision. But this is the right thing to do.
Michael Berry. The Michael Berry Show.
Allied Outdoor Solutions has been a show sponsor of ours in our Houston flagship market for almost 20 years now. And it's been fun because they've gone from just a handful of folks to growing and growing and growing, doing beautiful backyard solutions to make your backyard, your front yard, your side yard, your front driveway look like a resort. And over the years, they've added Austin, San Antonio, Dallas. And what the work they do, you can see it for yourself at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com or have them come do it for you. 844-846-1010. 844-846-1010. My big health focus has been drink more water, get basic exercise, reduce your stress, and perhaps most important, better sleep and more sleep. You don't want to lay in bed where you can't sleep. I use TheTrustedLab.com. TheTrustedLab.com. Comes directly to your home. I don't want to be involved with addictive drugs and medicine and all that. Completely healthy, completely natural, and I get results. TheTrustedLab.com. I do have to say, when we decided that at the RCC we were going to open a barbecue joint within, the first person I talked to was Michael Sam Brooks at the Pit Room. And I said, I want to come and see your pit, and I want you to tell us what kind of, you know, how you did your pit. And he said, absolutely not. I have 500-gallon propane tanks cut in half, offset cookers. What are you chewing? You look like a cow chewing his. That's disgusting. Would you quit that? No, that's awful. Chew your nails or something. So he said, I got to have somebody working there all night long through the night. You don't want to do that. So he put me on to J&B. We got a great pit. Everything was fantastic. It saved me a lot of money, a lot of time, and we had good barbecue. And he took all the time in the world to help us get exactly the right one, helped us with our recipes. The other guy, I took Andre, our chef, and Russ Rogels at Rogels Barbecue, 2223 Voss, in between Westheimer and Shepherd, between Westheimer and Richmond. That's not true. Between San Philippi and Westheimer, that would be Rogels Barbecue. And we took our team over there, and we went through all of his facilities. We had lunch. And then he came to our place and looked at what we were doing. He brought Andre back to his joint and worked with him there and taught our team inside and outside how to do barbecue. And I'll never forget him saying, I got no secrets. Anything I know how to do, I will gladly teach you how to do it. There's no shortcuts to barbecue. It's hard work. You have to be patient. You cannot cut corners. So there's nothing I do that you can't know that I do. And, that, you know, there's not a lot of people in that industry that have that approach. But I've known a few of them, and Russ Rogels is solid. Solid, dude. Rogels Barbecue. I think it's Kenny's favorite barbecue in Houston. Yeah. What is his pork ribs he likes so much? Anyway, Russ Rogels is our guest. Russ?
Yep, I'm here, man. Thanks for having me.
What are you doing?
Well, I'm turning on Voss Road right now. I had to run up the road for a minute, and now I'm heading back to the restaurant and about to pack up a bunch of orders to be shipped out all over the United States.
Are you doing Gold Belly, or what are you doing?
Yeah, we're doing Gold Belly. It seemed to work out for us just because the price of shipping is so high, and they get a better deal, and it just, plus the platform they're on, it just works out better for us.
So for people that don't know, goldbelly.com is a website where you can go and you can get Maine lobsters, you can get Girardelli chocolates, you can get pizza from Chicago, or you name it. You can get, you want Texas barbecue, the best there is, you can go on there. So how would I find you if I went to that site, if I didn't already know you were there?
If you just go to goldbelly.com and type in Regels, it's R-O-E-G-E-L-S, I guarantee I'm the only one.
You are, but what if I didn't know about, I pronounce it Rogels, just so you know.
You can call it whatever you want as long as you show up meat. I don't care what you call it.
So if I don't know if I don't know about Regels, how would I have found you?
Really, you can just type in Texas barbecue and then in the search thing, and it'll give you probably 50 different places.
And so you sell a lot on there?
We've been doing it about, I guess, just completed our second month, and today I'll ship out my 100th order.
How much is an order average?
You know, with shipping and stuff, like probably about $150.
And you've done 100 orders?
Yeah,
15,000.
Yeah, and that's for us. It's $189 for a whole brisket. Okay. So we'll send you a whole brisket, vacuum sealed. You know, shipped to your front door. We've shipped to Hawaii. We've shipped to Alaska. We pretty much all over the place. But you know, that includes shipping. Is that $189?
Oh, here it is, the Texas Trinity Barbecue for $239.
That's going to give you a whole brisket, ribs, and sausage.
Oh, my goodness. That's. So did you have to add any equipment, any cookers, any vacuum sealers to be able to do this? Or did you have everything you needed already?
No, I had everything already. You know, I've been doing this down here since 2001. And, you know, you just gain things a little bit at a time as far as equipment. I mean, smokers, shoot, I can smoke about 100 briskets or more. I think right now if I filled everything up, I could probably cook 120 briskets in one shot.
Tell me about your business from when most people started falling off about last March and through the shutdown, and how your business has been from then, and catch me up till now. And you got a minute and 40 seconds in this segment.
Okay, so last March, whenever the shutdown, they said they shut down. We knew it was coming. Me and my wife said, it's coming any day. Let's just go ahead and get this 2 weeks over with. When they said you're shut down, first thing I did was called my supply rep. And I said, I need five times the amount of to-go orders on every single thing that I order that I normally get. He got those to me. I closed my dining room off, made a big horseshoe around the outside walls of it. The inside of my dining room became my supply room. You know, right at first, we were jamming. I mean, our sales shot up because there was no meat in the grocery stores, and people didn't want to go there anyway. So we did great on that. Well, once the grocery stores got caught up, restaurants started opening back up, we saw everything drop down, and we busted our butts. We threw out so many different kind of specials just to keep people interested. So I think we did better than a lot of places did in the first few months of it, number one, we're in a great area and we have great customers. Number two is we worked our butt off to let people know that, hey, we're still here and we need your business.
What's the single best thing you serve at Regal's Barbecue on Voss?
You know, my favorite is the pork belly. That's me. You know, I think what we sell more brisket than anything, but what we're really being known for is our Reuben sandwich. We do a pastrami Reuben, you know, brisket Reuben that people line up out the door for every Thursday.
The last time I was in your shop, you were not there, and I had that Reuben, and I remembered how good it was, and I had eaten barbecue but not the Reuben, and I'd, oh, man. Who do you think is making fantastic barbecue today?
Oh, let's see. I can't name one person. You know, there's so many places that make great barbecue in Houston and in the state and even outside the state. The best barbecue experience that I have ever had and some of the best barbecue I had, believe it or not, was in Brooklyn, New York at a place called Hometown Barbecue.
Mm. Oh, it is, Ramon. Trust me. It's
people are probably like, you know, like that old hot sauce commercial, like get a rope. But man, it's fantastic.
No, it is. It's also a great place for people watching because every Texan goes there when they're there. I got 1 minute. Ramon wants me to ask you what you think about people who wrap their brisket in foil.
You know, if it works for them, it works for them. I don't wrap with foil because I believe it steams it. We use butcher paper. It lets it breathe. But it works. I mean, you got Snow's Barbecue out in Lexington. They wrap their brisket in foil. And every Saturday morning, somebody told me last Saturday there were 800 people lined up whenever they opened.
Yeah, that was the Texas Monthly number one. Let me ask you what you cook, what wood you cook with?
We use post oak.
Just post oak?
100% post oak.
If you were
it's
to
a
add...
good mild smoke, it does good.
If you were to add one other thing in there, what would it be?
One other thing as far as wood?
Yeah.
I would do hickory because pork is typically a bland meat and hickory works really well on pork.
Very interesting.
When I grew up in East Texas and we were doing this, we used hickory up there because that's what's prevalent. You know, your barbecue places, whatever wood's prevalent in the area that they're in, that's probably what wood they're using.
Russ Regals is at 2223 Voss.
Ojitos negros, cielito lindo de contrabando.
John Schwepp is the Director of Policy and Government Affairs for the American Principles Project, and he is here to talk about a bill on Governor Ron DeSantis' desk right now, Governor of Florida, to protect women's sports from transgender athletes. John, what's in this bill?
Well, it's pretty simple. It recognizes biological sex as mattering when it comes to athletics. And you know, basically says if you are, instead of referring to gender identity, which is this nebulous term that the left really wants us to use now instead of sex, it says, you know, to compete in girls' athletics, you need to be a girl on your birth certificate at the moment of birth. You know, it's pretty simple. This seems kind of crazy. I know I've talked to a lot of activists who just can't believe we're even talking about this, but this is kind of where we're at, and we need to pass bills like this to protect against some of the Democrats' more radical priorities.
The bill in Florida, is that women's sports at the UIL or the up to the high school level, or does it include college sports?
It does include college sports, so this is a pretty comprehensive bill. It does exclude, I believe they made an exception when they were trying to negotiate it. I think there's an exception for elementary kids. But, you know, junior high, high school, college sports, it would completely protect the opportunities for these girls.
Why doesn't this come up in professional sports? Is it because professional sports owners know that this is a terrible idea and don't allow it?
Yeah, you know, it's a really good question. I mean, you know, the WNBA, for example, what would happen if LeBron James, you know, decided to take his talents over there? He would dominate. It wouldn't be close. You know, we actually saw an example of that. You might remember the women's soccer team that won the gold medal. And, you know, all of America was excited about that, cheering them on. Well, that same team, you know, scrimmaged against a high school boys team and lost. So, you know, this is just kind of how it is. That doesn't take anything away from these female athletes. They're exceptional. But there are differences between men and women, significant ones. And it's just completely, I don't want to say comical. It's just sad. It's not right to put girls up against guys and expect that to be anything close to fair.
Everybody who sees it knows it. And you have to catch yourself in a really bad round of gymnastics and contortions to somehow justify this on the basis that, well, we got to build this coalition to win elections. This is harmful to the little girls, and that's what it comes down to. And if you can't see that, I'm not sure I can help you.
Well, unfortunately, Michael, I mean, this is where the Republicans, you know, as a conservative, sometimes it's frustrating. It feels like we never get wins. We never see Republicans push back and gain ground on the left. Well, here's a scenario where I think the left has pushed too far on these, you know, this gender ideology that boys should be able to do everything. Men should be in women's prisons. Men should be in women's bathrooms. I think they've pushed too far on that. And now we're starting to see the Republican Party, you know, gain some courage and push back on this. I think we have, when Florida signs it, it'll be the seventh or eighth state that has signed women's sports legislation into law. So, you know, our hope is that we can take from this and this issue, which seems to be pretty common sense, and do it on more issues and get the Republican Party fighting more.
I read a point that you made that this will not only affect female athletes, but the collegiate institutions themselves. How?
Well, I think, you know, this would basically prevent the craziness from happening. It would allow women's sports to continue to be versus other women. You know, the NCAA, actually their policy on this is very confusing, and it's not clear that they are inherently in support of men competing in women's sports, although they kind of virtue signal to the contrary. So, you know, I think this makes it clear for the state of Florida that in the state of Florida, these athletes at these colleges will be competing against women and women only. And, you know, it'll be pretty clear.
So DeSantis signs this and it becomes law. So that means it's gone through the House and the Senate there?
That's correct. And it was kind of crazy because it looked like it was dead for a little bit there. DeSantis signaled to the media that he would like to sign it. And they revived it and attached it to this larger bill, and both houses, both the House and Senate, passed it. So he is set to sign it, and we anticipate that happening very soon.
Interesting. And that would go into effect presumably for the fall semester of the upcoming year?
I think so. I'm not 100% sure on it. I know it will go into effect very soon.
Very interesting. John Schwepp, Director of Policy and Government Affairs for the American Principles Project. Thanks for being our guest, my man.
Thank you, Michael.
You know, I have to tell you, I do believe, I've seen it, and in fact, I've seen it in some cases where it's the child of someone you know and your heart goes out. I do think there are kids, I guess the term is dysphoria now, I do think there are kids who struggle with their identity in a number of different ways. And you see kids who do not develop their sexual identity. Some people never do, and some people are delayed, and some people are confused. And look, it's hard to grow up. We forget how hard it is to grow up when we get older. I mean, just having a pimple is awful. Do you remember Clearasil and the different things we put on just to keep you from seeing that red dot on our face so our buddy wouldn't call us pepperoni head? if you have a funny name, if you're from a different place, if you're fat, if you're skinny, if you have red hair, if you, I mean, whatever, you know, it's rough. It's hard to grow up. I'm not going to tell you I think that these little boys are awful that want to play girl sports. I don't think they want to cheat. I don't think they want an unfair advantage. I think they want to participate, and that's what they want to do. But either they're going to be prohibited or the girls are going to be prohibited. And there's no way around it. And we have to make adult decisions. And there's winners and losers to every decision. But this is the right thing to do.
Michael Berry. The Michael Berry Show.
Richard in El Campo, you're on the Michael Berry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. You're talking about worried about what other people thought about you. It'd be hard on you. Yeah, it is. When you start worrying about what other people think about you, that gives them power over you. I quit worrying about what people thought about me a long time ago.
That's exactly right. The left wins by manipulating good people's good intentions and attempts to be pleasers. They know this. They don't follow these rules. That's why they behave in different manners. You know, I hear people will come to me and they'll say, how can the left do this? And I'll say, why wouldn't they? But don't they realize that? And my point is, you're the fool, not them. Don't you realize that they don't play by your rules? It's just as simple as that. And our people can't seem to get that. And, you know, at some point you got to ask yourself, if you were in a war with another country and nobody on your side was willing to go and fight, and everybody on your side just continued going about their business until they invaded you, at what point do you say, you know, maybe you're the problem? Maybe you're the problem. At what point do you go, oh, hope they don't fly over it? Oh, there, they're flying over us. Hope they don't drop bombs. They're dropping bombs. Hope they don't bring troops. They're bringing in troops. What? Serious question. What could the left possibly do that they have not yet done short of murdering us? And in the case of Andrew Cuomo and sending people into the nursing homes, what could the left do? What more could they do that they haven't done? We used to argue over illegal immigration, but they would always pretend that, I mean, we all agree you got to have immigration laws and you got to enforce them. But once they get here, we should give them sanctuary. We should do this. Now we're at the point where they just say, wide open borders, don't stop them. And nothing's happening. That's what's going on. That's not going to change. There should be a national shutdown crisis. Nope. We're just all going on like there's nothing wrong. What more would they have to do? They're about to impose a massive tax hike. And you know what is sad and comical at the same time? Tax the rich. It's a brilliant strategy. Increase the capital gains tax. You know what happens? Economic misery. When people with cash don't invest it, poor people suffer. But I have come to the conclusion, and this is going to be harsh for some of you, that many poor people are stupid. They are. You want to know how stupid they are? Watch when they win the lottery. Are we supposed to make excuses for the fact that when you win the lottery, you're broke in a year? Because they're always broke. They're always broke. They win a big judgment, they're broke. Poor people are usually poor because they're stupid. I know that's not what you want to hear. You want to hear they're just down on their luck. You want to hear that but for this unfortunate thing happened. Actually, if you start listening to people that are in prison, let's start there. People that are in prison, I get letters from prison every day. And you know what's fascinating? Prison is an entire facility made up of innocent people. Interesting. You haven't done anything wrong until you run their record and you go, well, if you didn't murder your next door neighbor, what about the 4 armed robberies, 2 car thefts, and 6 times you were dealing? Oh, and now those I did. Okay, but you're innocent of just this one thing here at the end? People with criminal records are criminals. They make bad decisions. They have a history of bad decisions. Now, you can blame it on a poor childhood, a rough upbringing, a violent upbringing, neglect, bipolarity or some other mental health condition, bad luck, someone doing them wrong. What you will end up finding is that for a combination of reasons, some people make snap decisions very poorly. That's what causes that person, if someone cuts them off in traffic, to pull up beside them and try to run them off the road. And you see these people. You watch the guy who's fighting with the one person who doesn't go fast enough, and then the other person who's going too fast, and the other person who cut in front of him, and the other person who wouldn't let him into traffic. And you see that driving is an outlet for their rage. So when they're involved in a road rage incident where they're finally caught and they hurt or kill somebody and they're so apologetic, no, you're not. There's a long pattern of that. And you find people that have 16 kids and no man in their life and they're on welfare. Guess what? Maybe after the third one you'd have figured out, these dudes dropping their seed in me is causing me to get pregnant. And I have no means to support them, which makes me a ward of the state. Maybe I should stop compounding the problem. Did you really enjoy the sex that much? Is that person a victim? Are people who can't get hired because they're felons and people don't want to hire felons, are they victims? Or are they simply the product of bad decisions? We act like people succeed in our society because they're lucky, and people fail because they're unlucky. By and large, that's not true. People succeed because they make good decisions. Who you couple with? Guess what? If you hook up with somebody who has a bunch of kids from a bunch of different men and spent 15 years stripping, there's a pretty good chance maybe some trouble along the way. Maybe she's been arrested 6 times. Oh, but I love her. Fine, you love her. It's probably not going to end well. What we need to do is stop normalizing stupidity and subsidizing stupidity and teaching people right from wrong and letting them suffer the consequences of their bad decisions instead of tax the rich. The rich are rich for a reason. For years, I've been bragging on the team at Allied Outdoor Solutions in Houston for the beautiful work they do to make your outdoor area, your backyard, look like a resort. Well, their business has just grown and grown organically because they do great work. Your walkways, the area around your pool, your outdoor kitchen, all of that. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. And now, over the years, it's taken 20 years, they're now in Austin, Dallas, and San Antonio. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. 844-846-1010. Call them at 844-846-1010.